It's the Roundtable, and we have Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, Doug Deacon, his partner in the Browns radio booth, and Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Jim, this conversation would almost be identical, I think, to what we talked about after the Thursday night game in Baltimore. I mean, in many respects, except for the fact that you look at this one and it seemed the Browns had even more of an opportunity to win this game versus the last game where they kind of made things interesting at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I thought the Browns weathered a big storm in the beginning of the game when Baltimore looked like they were not going to be stopped. Doug made a really good point on the broadcast where it looked like the Ravens came out and they had fresh legs because of the bye, and they went up and down the field and did anything that they wanted to do. They wanted to throw it, wanted to run it, and scored twice. And then the Browns survived that and make great adjustments, and then they get down in that red zone five times. And, even Vic, at 15-14, I did not have a feeling that you were going to hold them off. I knew that you needed more points in the game at that point to try and put these guys away. I didn't think we were going to walk out of there with a 15-14 win like we walked out the week before with a 7-6 win. So, yeah, I mean, it's very frustrating, I think, when you watched how it played out. There were long chunks of the game, I thought, where the Browns dominated the game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and in both sides, but especially the defensive side. Doug, words like deflating were coming out of the locker room by players in describing that loss, and it did seem to – they all hurt, and I don't know if you can really differentiate a loss is a loss, but it did seem like maybe because it's coming right before the bye, maybe there was that confidence of getting traction, whatever. There seemed to be a deeper sense of disappointment after this loss than others.
Well, yeah, I think because they honestly believe that they could play with them, and they can, and they just didn't make the plays yesterday to get over the hump. But, the game over there in Baltimore, turnover kind of turned that game around. Yesterday, it was one of those where they were hot in the first quarter and they were hot in the last 6 minutes, but in between, they didn't do anything, the Ravens did. And it's not the same team that we knew 10
right.
years ago.
Right.
But, they're still a good football team and, a well-coached football team. But I think, the guys really felt that, they had turned the corner and they were ready to do it. And when you have that anticipation, there's a big disappointment.
You know, Vic, along with that question you asked, Doug, I thought for the first time this year, first time in a lot of years, the disappointment and the frustration was mixed with some anger. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were some guys that walked out of that locker room last night just flat out pissed off because mm-hmm. they felt like, they felt like they could play with that team, much like they did on the Thursday night game, and they really felt like they let another one slip away. But right. as Jimmy said, it comes down to the red zone, 0-for-5 versus 3-for-3.
What do we make, then, of an offense that we can use this word young, and we can talk about rookies because you can because they are, but we've done it so much that after 9 games, and I've heard others say that maybe after 4 or 5 games, that kind of has to go away. After 9 games or in the course of the 9th game, you begin to wonder when you see the failure to execute some things, when you see mistakes being made, and I know they aren't all being made by rookies, actually, but mm-hmm. being made in the course of a game, what do we make of that? How do we sort of, like, either, and I don't think the word is justify it, but how do we wrap our minds around the inability to get certain things done?
Well, the thing I keep coming back to is that I just feel that they're not exactly sure what they want to be yet. And I think that, and I go back a couple of weeks ago, I think it was in the locker room after the Indianapolis game, and Joe Thomas, we were questioning them about, what was going on in that game and what happened in that game. And he said, now you got to remember, we're a pass-first team. And I guess, yesterday they definitely were a pass. They wanted to come out, I think, and they wanted to throw the ball. And yet the running game was there for them. So it's there, and I just don't think they still know what they want to do. Their best game was the Cincinnati game, where they had a true ratio of balance in that game. I just think that the reason that what you asked there about, offensively why they're making mistakes is because I just don't think they know what they want to be yet. I mean, they went up and got this great running back, but he for what they want to do, it doesn't seem like his talent dominates the game plan. And when it does, they're not doing what they want to do.
Right. Well, clearly it's a pass-to-set-up-the-run mentality for the most part, unless mm-hmm. conditions like the weather that we had last week against the Chargers prevail. But, Doug, I would say this. I think not only do we see it as a throw first type of approach that this Browns team takes offensively, but it also is a quicker paced thing. It seems like they do try to break the huddle quickly, and I know strategically you want to do these things to catch a defense off balance, and when you're dealing with a defense maybe like specifically like the Ravens, you want to do that, bigger physical defenses. But at times you wonder if maybe you go a little too fast. I mean, if I know if I do in things I'm doing, that's usually when you're going to make a mistake.
Well, there was a few times yesterday I think they didn't break the huddle or get the play, you know, in time. Yeah. And that's a confusion because you don't have – you know, yeah, they're young players. They haven't played together. So the quarterback, you know, his ability to say, hey, we're going to change this, you know, audible, we're going to do this. Well, you don't know if everybody's going to be on the same page, and that right. gets real dangerous. But, I still think it gets back to, you know, getting the personality, what they're going to be. We're more of a vertical offense, I think, than we are the true West Coast,
horizontal,
as you're used to seeing it. And I think this is a team that needs to get first downs. We wanted to keep Baltimore's defense on the field as much as possible, I thought, yesterday. And, you know, with those first two 3-and-1s, we didn't make it. And that, you know, all of a sudden put our defense back on the field. And, you know, in the personality thing, we've got to be able to convert those 3rds-and-1s and just keep the ball.
Sure.
3rd-and-1, Vic. Here we go again.
That's been a theme.
I think there's sometime, to Jimmy's point, too, I think there's seems to be some overthinking going
on.
Yeah,
I agree, Tom.
And yesterday, Smith drops the 3rd-and-1, and he probably would have had to break a tackle to get the first down on that drive.
Right.
Then the second time you get the ball back, Richardson goes for 9 on first down, fumbles on second down, and I don't know if the play calling was affected by that for 3rd down, but then you have Obanaya wide open for potentially a touchdown, you get the interference call. Anyway, I just think, to Jimmy's point, this team needs to figure out what it wants, what does it do best, and stick with it.
It's the Roundtable. Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers, yours truly, Vic Carucci, here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Bring up such a great point, too, about sort of what you want to do, how you want to do it. This, then, is what the bye is for, I think, as much as anything else. Reflect, study, quality assurance, quality control. Talk with Pat Shurmur about this earlier in the show, too, that, you know, and he says it, and he said it earlier in his news conference, that time is going to be used by the coaches to kind of reevaluate the way they do things. And he made a reference to streamlining the communication system, because there were those issues, and I'm not sure how that has to go, but right now what is in place is an offensive coordinator and Brad Childress clearly discussing play options. Pat Shurmur on the headset hearing that before the play is called. And then I think someone else kind of involved with personnel substitutions, and the Browns do a lot of that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm hey, amen.
I mean, it's a big operation with a lot of wheels turning.
There are a lot of wheels. There are a lot of moving parts there.
Yeah,
a lot of voices.
How do you simplify it?
I think a guy calls the game. I think let's go over on the other side of the ball. There's one guy calling the defensive game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Durant.
Yeah. So when it wasn't working right on the first two drives of the game, that one guy fixed it, and they were fine pretty much throughout the balance of the game. And they were even fine on the last drive. I mean, Ward got a penalty, and, you know, that happens. I think it's got to be one voice. And to what Doug says, I mean, it's one voice talking to a lot of young players, you know. And I think that they move fluidly down the field. Then all of a sudden they get in there, and I mean, you know, okay, we got to get this play called.
Because guys get open. I mean, the plays that are called, you see people. Ben Watson was open on the very first play of the game.
Wide open, right?
Wide open, yeah. And on plays that passes have been dropped. Those are clearly good calls because I see the receiver and I see defenders and a whole bunch of green between them.
But I think it's the one voice. I mean, I think it's got to come down to somebody calls the game and it goes out to Whedon. He takes it and he calls it.
Well, it's certainty. I mean, you got to have the – make sure you have the certain personnel in. You have to have the certain play called. And once you call to play with that personnel, you got to be certain that you're not going to change your mind and then at the last second say, you know, let's do this.
Yeah.
You know, and yesterday they just never got that big downfield play that we had seen the last few weeks. You know,
right.
Something over the top, you know, a long run just to kind of open things up
a little bit. They wanted it in the opening play of the game.
And they could have had it, yeah. And then inside the red zone, I wasn't crazy about some of the play calling down there. I'll be honest with you. I didn't see a lot of guys open, to be honest with you, either. And I know Brandon has been told, hey, look, you know, as he said last week, don't be a moron here. Right. You know, we got the best field goal kicker in the league standing on the sideline. Don't make a mistake. So I think that may have affected some of his decision-making down there.
This bye, I think, is particularly important for him because I see a quarterback, not that there isn't a long career ahead of him to grow, develop, all those good things, but still, I think I want to see him really make some of these big strides of consistency in the second half of the schedule because right now I see a guy with immense talent, that great arm. He's made some big plays that are eye-opening, but he also has done some things in this last game was one where it looked like a little bit of a step back.
Yeah, I thought so. I think you're right. I think he's hit a little wall, I think, maybe. You know,
The last couple of weeks.
I mean, and I know the weather game, and you're right, Tom. He protected the ball, I thought. But I thought he put the ball in peril a few times yesterday.
I agree, yeah.
He got away with a couple yesterday, too. And then he didn't get away with a couple. So you're right, I think. But I wonder if sometimes, you know, and I know, you know, we all kind of guffaw a little bit at his age, but I wonder if, you know, if everyone's trying to fast track this because he is 29
and shows a maturity and capability of handling.
Yeah, I wonder sometimes.
But that gets back to, you know, the fact that, you know, you got the young guys, you're trying to adjust. Okay, they went in the game, they figured they were going to see man like they did, you know, over in Baltimore. They end up seeing cover two. Mm. Now, you know, you've got to dink and dunk a little
more.
But if, you know, if you've kind of geared your game plan to thinking you're going to get the man and get the double moves on Jimmy Smith and, you know, try to keep Ed Reed from the other side of the field, then all of a sudden you're making adjustments in the game that, you know, that rookie quarterbacks have trouble making.
The defense, and Jim made that reference about Dick Geron kind of fixing things once they got off kilter a little bit. But, Tom, just to point this out, I mean, the Ravens averaged 3.7 yards rushing. Mm-hmm. It's good, but it's not overwhelming. Ray Rice just under 100 yards rushing on 25 carries. You can say, and Joe Flacco, 153 passing yards, one touchdown. They didn't kill the Browns defensively, and there were long stretches of that game where you could say the Browns defense did a really good job.
Yeah, and what Jimmy said earlier, I mean, Dick Geron did a great job adjusting. I thought the Baltimore's first two drives were great, though. I really liked their mix.
They were frightening.
You didn't know what was coming. They do that little stretch kind of play with Rice where he cuts it back. I mean, that was really good offense there, and I think that's something maybe the Browns can learn from just in terms of, you know, mixing things up a little bit. But I thought the defense played very well up front. And boy, it was a nasty game. It looked like, you know, a game where Deacon should be out there against the Steelers back in the day.
It was really chippy and nasty.
Well, it was an AFC North game. And I mean, it was a nasty game.
And I maintain that some of that thinking on the Ravens' part was get the young team to lose its composure, obviously. Right. I mean, you want to do that to see if they'll bite and get those unnecessary penalties.
Let me just say, I think Dick has done that a couple of times now. I mean, the Indianapolis game, the Colts went down the first two times, and they got scores. So, you know, kudos to him to be able to pull the reins back in.
Well, yeah, but I think, you know, I think the Browns were coached up for the game to, you know,
avoid
with an attitude, you know.
Going with a toughness.
You know, these guys are going to try to bully you.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, go toe-to-toe.
I mean, that's good.
I've seen the guys that, you know, they try to provoke you, you know, and they try to get in your young team. But I don't think any of our guys, you know, had any problems. You know, on the defensive side, Phil Taylor was taking exception to some of the ways, you know, things they were doing.
Yes, he did.
You know, Phil Taylor showed an attitude when he said, hey, you know, you got, you know.
He's just the
Rice.
Name,
Yeah, we got Richardson. So, you know, that's the kind of attitude you got to have.
Well, interesting stuff to chew on during the course of this bye week. It is the Roundtable. Jim Donovan from the Browns Radio Network. Doug Deegan from the Browns Radio Network. Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Thank you, gentlemen, and we will reconvene next week.
All right.
Much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.